you don't keep practicing the scriptures, you'll find that the world becomes too real to us. And just want to encourage those of you who have started, who said you'd like to try to do a 40-day wilderness journey. I am happy for you. But usually 1 week, 2 weeks, we all collapse. So it's not, if nothing else, you realize how wild the wilderness is. And it is challenging. But keep pressing on. It's not something that you want to, think that you can master immediately. But we just want to keep pressing on. And well, let's pray to it, ask the Lord to bless. Our Father, we pray for wisdom to understand your word. Help us to learn how to love the scriptures, how to understand what we are reading. Help us to believe that the very reading of it will itself be a blessing. Pray that you will give to us an understanding this morning as we open up a new chapter, the book of Revelation. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, let's look at Revelation chapter 18. And this is something that we have to, and once again, try to fathom. It's not an easy thing to fathom, but we take a look at how it will be. In a world right now, what we are seeing is actually an obvious display of authority and power. One country says one thing and everybody jumps. That's what we call authority and display of such authority. And it's very blatant and it's very loud. And here we may be very far away, thousands of miles away, and we feel it. Everybody feels it. There's nothing anybody actually can do about it. Or what else is the answer? Right? So we can take a look at chapter 18, because we read about the 10 horns and we talk about they will end up with a lot of infighting. We're seeing this in a political world especially. You're going to see a lot of this infighting all the time. Right? United groups they can't get along. Which nation will be able to get along easily with another nation? So on paper, it looks like you have a united nation. Tell me which part is united. It's really much more of a disunited nation than anything else because they can't get things going on. They change it from League of Nations to United Nations, thinking a nice change of name would help. But it doesn't help, right? So depending upon who controls, so they have in such a way that some countries will have veto power. So one group will say this, the other one say no, cannot, I veto it, and it's gone. So the other group will try another one, veto is on this side here, and it's gone. They have been doing this seesawing all the time, vetoing up and down for all these years. Well, this becomes a very major problem. Right? And so if you look at how the 10 horns, they will turn against the harlot and how they will battle against the very person who has been sort of involved in all those things, you begin to realize how much of a disunity there is. Right? So no matter how you want to look at it, you can call it United Nations, you can call it NATO, you can call it WTO, you can call it any other way you like. They're constantly forming groups all the time. Why? Because the other group failed. We'll try again. This new group, new MOU, signed again, and some things will go wrong. And things will keep on going wrong, right? This is part of the problem that we are seeing right now. Well, so we read, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be of one mind and to give to the kingdom, to the beast, until the words of God are fulfilled. That's what we are looking at. At the end of it all, you will see the word of God fulfilled. That's chapter 17. So there is a higher plan of God that you want to take a look at. Right? So you may look at all these things here. There are nations and there are problems and difficulties and challenges, you name it. And it looks as if there's chaos. It looks as if it's in turmoil. It looks as no pattern. There's nothing at all that will help us see light of it all. Except one thing. The word of God has already determined. And it will be fulfilled. This is why we spend this kind of time giving to the study of the Lord's word. Because at the end of the day, it will be the only thing that will be fulfilled, not man's wishes. Right? So we may look at it and we are just astonished at all the things we may read about. We know what it is, but nobody wants to dare to say it out loud. Nobody wants to say it's corruption. Nobody wants to say there is abuse. Nobody wants to say, otherwise you're going to be sued or you lose your job. Or whatever. And basically, a lot of people are afraid. But remember this, the word of God will be fulfilled. Well, let's take a look at this very carefully. Now in chapter 18. After those things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Now, this is something that is difficult to understand because we are looking at what we call glory. The problem is we cannot define what glory is. Right? When we look at the authority also, we cannot accept the word here. It says illuminated with his glory. So when we talk about light, it becomes something kind of special. The Jews celebrate known this. This time is called Rosh Hashanah, meaning this is the beginning of the new year. The atonement will take place very shortly, a couple of weeks later on. But this is a time when they look at these things here. And they have a Sabbath lighting ceremony. This is coming to the Sabbath, so the Sunday, which is basically a Friday evening kind of thing, and they light a candle. So sometimes we look at our children, we always say, close your eyes and pray. Sometimes we don't know why we look, close our eyes and pray. Right? Well, did the Lord close his eyes when he prayed? No. We read very clearly the scriptures. When he was up there, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and he prayed and he talked to the Lord. Why did we close our eyes? And I trace it back to an old ancient Jewish practice. Right, so on Sabbath they always have a lighting practice. Every Sabbath they will light Sabbath candles. Right, and the women will be there. They are always told, close your eyes, either with your hands or just close them. And then they will light the candle. And the moment the prayer is said, which is, blessed be the Lord God. Right? And is blessed be the God who is the King of heaven, King of the earth. It's a very straightforward prayer of blessing of the Lord's name. And then they open their eyes. So that the first thing they see is the light of the candle. And in that symbolic moment, they see the glory of God. I thought, wow, that is kind of special. And I wish we have such practices. We don't have lighting of candles because we switch on the light. We have lost so much of the old ways of this thing, and the candle must be left on till it ends by itself, and it should be at least lasting 3.5 hours so that the lights will there in the whole room will be illuminated by. And so when we look at this idea of how light is a symbol of glory, how light is a symbol that is there to represent the Lord's glory. And with the light, the authority that is there. And you just imagine, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. Can you imagine? And this is only an angel. We're not talking about the Lord Jesus. So you just can imagine. See, we don't know how to look at this whole idea of understanding how does this authority actually work. And most of us don't know. We look at the world today and we are flabbergasted. We are, maybe use the word stronger word, disgusted with what's happening in the world. Because we are the small fringe nation to the world and we are at a loss as to what will happen now. We are lost because we have no power. We don't have nuclear weapons. We don't have trillions of dollars. We don't have anything. We depend. If people don't trade with us, we all die. And we look at life and we just, what can we do? Everybody has to bow down to this one image. What can you do? And the world doesn't know, doesn't have an answer. Right? So on the outside, everything looks good. The latest is if you want to apply for a visa to the US to work there, your company has to pay $100,000 just to get you to get a job visa there now. The latest. That's how that works now. How are we going to find a work? We want to kick them out. We want only the rich people to be there. And so on and so forth. So it becomes a really quite a big challenge along the way. What is the answer? What? Gold? Silver? What do we do? What is the answer? And the answer at the end of the day is going to be what we read. The word of the Lord will be fulfilled. All these things are what we call prophecies. Right? So when we look at prophecy, what is the one thing about prophecy we need to note is that they're just waiting fulfillment. What is that fulfillment? You know, it is something that we want to look at very carefully. And we read about how another angel came from heaven and this one had great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. But a lot of people are going to miss that out because they can't see the glory of the Lord. They can't see the majesty of the Lord. They can't see what we hear or read about as the illumination that comes. And I really wish that we can be, as it were, see the glimpse of that glory illuminated. It would be very, very special to think about it. But we don't know how to have these things like that. Unfortunately, but think about this, right? And he cried mightily with a loud voice, and this is what he said, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. This is tied in with the fall of Babylon. The question is, what Babylon? Right? What is this Babylon we are talking about? And it becomes a really big thing for us to understand it. It's something to really work on and we think through very, very carefully. Right? So this is where we think of the word. This whole idea of Babylon the Great is fallen is actually going all the way back to the prophecies in the Bible. Right? So when we look at how the prophets prophesied the fall of Babylon, that was the actual Babylon. Right? So when the prophets prophesied Babylon, nobody could believe how could such an empire fall. They were the ones who conquered a mighty Assyrian empire. Nobody could imagine that they would fall. Right? How could they have fallen? Well, the Middle Persian is a very small thing. We are looking at very small place, and we're looking at, you know, if we're thinking in terms of Iran, that's what the countries are. Babylon was Iraq. Middle Persia is Iran. Guess what? The old enemies are still around. Right? One day it fell and nobody believed it could have fallen the way it did. So when Saddam Hussein fell and they look at the palace that he had and the soldiers were walking all over the place with their dirty boots, you know, into it, you know, very an opulent palace. People were just looking. I mean, this is where, how downtrodden it is. But let's take a look at what this is all about as we look at it very, very carefully, right? So as we look at this, as we consider this, we take a look. Let's look at a little bit in the book of Isaiah. And we'll see this a little bit where the prophecies were there, right? And so chapter 13 of Isaiah, we read these words. The burden against Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw. This was the Babylonian Empire then, right? At that point of time, Babylon was not even in power, just coming up. So it didn't have the power until much later, but this is Isaiah's time. And so the Lord said, lift up a banner on the high mountain, raise your voice to them, wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I've called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. God is going to raise a mighty army against Babylon. The noise of the multitude in the mountains, like that of many people, the tumultuous noise of the kingdom of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army to battle, and they come all over the place. War, we read about it. Okay, in verse 6, wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty, therefore all hands will be limp. Every man's heart will melt, they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrow will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in a childbirth. This is called the day of the Lord. It will come cruel with both wrath and fierce anger to lay the land desolate. And he will destroy the sinners that are there inside it. Right? And verse 11, watch what will happen. It's not just Babylon, but the world. And those who think they have made a big deal, right? Think about this. Those who think they have made a big deal, they are going to suffer along the way too. Verse 11, I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud. I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. There we go. This is what was happening. So it's not just Babylon. The question is, what is Babylon? Who is Babylon? And this is a real big problem. Well, the word prophecy was verse 17, I will stir up the Medes against them. Then the Medes will not regard silver, they will not regard gold, they will not be delighted in it, and they will battle Babylon. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of a Chaldean's pride, right, will be, and God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be no more. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled down from generation to generation. And all those things, who will be there? Wild beasts in the desert will lie there. Ostriches will lie there. Wild goats will caper there. Hyenas will howl there. Jackals will be there. The days will not be prolonged. And that is what we are looking at. All right? And in the famous chapter 14 of Isaiah, which is something we want to be familiar with, right? So we read what Babylon was like. This was the proverb to be taken against the king of Babylon, right? In chapter 14, in verse 4 there, how the oppressor has ceased, the golden city ceased. You know, for some reason, people are just so fascinated with gold, gold card, gold this, gold that, you know, everything gold. The very thing that you think you honor today, we read, the Lord has broken the staff of the wicked, the scepter of the rulers, right? He will strike, he who struck the people with in wrath with a continual stroke. He who ruled the nations in anger, right, is persecuted and no one hinders. This is exactly the description of what Babylon was. He controlled all other nations. When he beats them, he will continually beat them until they quit, until they give in to Babylon's demands. That's what we are looking at. And so there we go. Verse 9. Hell from beneath is excited about you to meet you at your coming. It stirs up a dead for you. All the chief ones of the earth, it will raise up their thrones, all the kings there, and they all shall speak and say to you, have you also become as weak as we are? How long till you remain strong? How long before you face weakness and death? And yet the world is scared for today, but not fearful of tomorrow. Think about what this text is all about. Your palm is brought down to Sheol. Palm ceremony, we just read about it. All the pageantry, all the things which are there. Today, the palm is there. The next day, Sheol, the grave. The sound of your string instruments. The maggot is spread under you. Worms will cover you. You are fallen from heaven. Lucifer, son of the morning. You were cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. And those who gaze at you, they will consider you. They will say, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness, destroyed its cities? Who did not open the house of his prisoners? All of the kings of nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch. Some will die a noble death. Some won't. Babylon won't. That's what we are looking at. You know, sometimes we just don't know how to fear God enough. But think about what this means, right? Though we read in verse 20, woe, you will not be joined with them in burial because you have destroyed your land. You have slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. And the Lord said, I will rise up against them and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant, offspring and posterity. You think you can carry on with a dynasty like that and just get all three? Think again. We are talking about God here. And if you abuse the name of God to do whatever you want, you'll be in worse trouble than you imagine. You cannot add blasphemy to your iniquity. Well, this is what we are looking at. All right. So how do we know we can trust in the Lord's word? Verse 24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so it shall stand. That is the authority of God's word. As he thinks, as he purposes, so it will be done. This is the authority the great angel carried as he spoke these words about Babylon. So we need to go back to the original prophecy against Babylon and how, once again, this Babylon thing comes up all over the place. And this is something that we need to think about very, very carefully. How do we do this? How can we be sure that we don't go this way? And this is Isaiah 14, famous chapter that we want to be familiar when we talk about this idea of the fall of Babylon. So when we look at all the world, and we just sometimes you just stand amazed. Why is it that the whole world is just trembling on its knees because of what they read, what they know, what it And it's almost as if, no, we are helpless. We can't do anything. Right? Why we may get fired from our jobs, we may be sued for billions, we may be ridiculed, we have our people examining or checking everything we're doing and things. Everybody is scared. Why can't we just pray? Why can't we just simply, Lord, this is what's going to happen, you know what, I'm going to believe your word is going to be fulfilled one of these days. And when it comes, it will come. Then we will see prophecy fulfilled. Do you honestly think this can go on indefinitely? Seriously, you honestly think this will go on indefinitely? How long have we got with reference to life in terms of time, duration? How long? And the answer is, don't hold your breath. It's not going to be forever. But look at what the land was going to become. All right, watch this very carefully. This becomes a real big problem. This description is even more disturbing in Isaiah 14. In Isaiah 14, we're talking about hyenas, we're talking about jackals, we're talking about wild goats, we're talking about actual physical things. This is far worse than Isaiah 14. Think about this very carefully, all right? Let's examine this a little bit more clearly. Okay, first and foremost, it becomes a place, a dwelling place of demons. Now, sometimes you read the book of Revelation 2 and 3 again and you ask yourself, how is it that the churches could have fallen the way the churches have? How could they, being where they are, how could this have been done? Well, in America, in the UK, we call this the broad church. In the Anglican church, there are three divisions, right? The high church is the one where the queen and or the former queen and the king, they all attend, they all ceremony, liturgy, and that's called the high church. At the bottom end is John Stott's kind of Anglican church. This is called the low church, meaning to say they're still very close to us in terms of teaching the Bible and all that. This is called the low church. But the larger portion is called the broad church. The broad church is whatever, anything goes. Literally, you can choose whichever you like, whatever you like. And right now, America has a very strong, broad church. Right? So we are looking at how it is, and they are the ones who are, go ahead, do whatever you want. God will bless you. You cannot do wrong because you are the savior of the people. Seriously. Right? Now, this is a very sad reality, but we're looking at this very carefully here. Babylon the Great is fallen. Is fallen. Right? Now, it becomes a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. All the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of fornication. The kings of the earth, all the merchants of the earth, they become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And that kind of luxury is corrupted luxury. We're not talking about honest business. Right? We're not talking about being entrepreneurial spirit. We're talking about, is it open-ended? You pay this money, you have these privileges, you're in, you prosper, I prosper, everybody is happy. That is how they see things. Will there come a judgment? Yes. What about those who are part of it? Will you also see judgment? Yes. Why are we not afraid? Think about this. Why are we not afraid? Right? We don't even know how to do this anymore, but this is how it works. Right? So all the merchants who are there, right? So first, we mentioned the nations, one. Two, the kings. Three, the merchants. And you have all the groups there. Right? You have the monarchies, you have nations, countries, And you have people who make those countries rich and powerful, merchants. And they are always there. Call them whatever you want. The old word is just simply that they are just traders, they're merchants, they're businessmen, we call them. And they are there, and they're all classified together because they are touched, part of that iniquity, part of that evil, part of all the things that are going wrong, and they, you can't escape the reality of it all. So what do? Seriously, we just think that it's just going to be, that's something that we need to look out very, very carefully. Right? So as we look at all of these things and this Isaiah 14, the judgment of the nations who come and all associated, you know, this is going to be literally a judgment of all the nations in the world that have also basically, we just count out to all of these things here. Now, what is this Babylon? Now, in the early days, it was the Babylonian Empire. Right? Will there be a future? Possibly. But the future will be just like the past. The prophecy of Babylon will still be used. Right? So whatever nation it is that will come up and do all these iniquitous things, they will have to answer to the Lord one day. And he is going to send a powerful angel who will speak with great authority. And there is no way in which you can deny that authority, because the authority of God cannot be denied. So I look at the whole place right now, and you look at this again, my goodness, what is that? There is so much evil there. A place of demons, that's what we are looking at. I mean, you just sometimes you cannot imagine what this is all about. What could it be? Are we looking at Russia in the days of the Tsars? That's the past now. What about the present day? It's not as strong as you imagine. What about Europe? It's not as great as you think. What is it? Is it a present or yet future? If it is yet future, and we are catching a glimmer, a glimpse of what the future is like, then you know what the future will be like. It will be global power. It will be money. It will be whatever it is, merchandising, you name it. It's going to be there. You see these descriptions in from Isaiah 14 to right now, Revelation 18. There isn't a whole lot of difference. Whereas one was actual, historical, physical, and it happened exactly as the Lord said it would happen. So what happened to the Babylon thing here? Gone. So many people were, you know, talking about how Iraq, so they're very powerful, they got special nuclear bombs, they have this, and then there's a lot of hype, a lot of nonsense going on. And then when they found out there was nothing, you know, but I mean, you know, mistakes are made all the time like that. Who cares? But the point is, it's no more. So now we're doing the same thing here. But we are looking with our eyes at the slow development of power, of greed, of corruption, of evil, of iniquity. But notice, the church is completely silent. Apart from the second and third chapters, the church is completely devoid of power. It has been marginalized. That's what happened. That's how Australia calls a church in Australia. It is called a marginalized church. It's right in the margins. That's it. It's no longer central. It's no longer powerful. It's no longer playing any significant role apart from the ceremonial value. Apart from it, there's no other value. That's what we see. Right? So as we read these things here, we just have to ask ourselves, what is it that we want to think about? Right? And that's something that we need to ponder over, because we are all so enamored of, the most powerful country in the world. Babylon was the most powerful country in the world. Was. Right? Remember, What is can become was very quickly, very easily. Can the nation come tumble down when it is trillions in debt? Yes. And think about these things here. It's just that the world also knows that if they pull the dollar out, they themselves will collapse. Right? So someone said, you see the American dollar, 1/3 of that green is yellow. Think about this. It's Chinese money. What can you do? Right? The world's largest shipbuilder is China. The world's largest number of malls is China. The world's, and everything is, I mean, just gonna, my concern, is this going to be the, is this Babylon going to be China? I have my doubts. I have my doubts. Because it doesn't trade very well with a lot of people yet. But who knows, it might be. No, frankly, we don't know. Right? So what could this be? People are talking about Europe, you know, this kind of resurrection of the European Empire. I have my reservations, big reservations about that. They can't even, you know, tie each other's shoes. They can't do anything at all with each other without quarreling about something or other. What is it? And whatever it is, we know a few things which are, to me, absolutely vital. I anchor myself in the one is the word of God that will be fulfilled one day. So I need to know, will Babylon continue forever? Answer, no. Don't hold your breath for too long because you don't need to. How long will a frail person survive? How long before health kicks in, age comes in, before problems come in? It won't be for long. Then we're looking. And we can read about this with the authority. We don't know when. We don't know how. But we know it will ultimately be from God. And He will bring an end to all of these things. Right? Now, this is something that we all need to look at very, very carefully, how we want to understand and appreciate these things here. So my challenge is to, can I seriously encourage you, right? Learn how to enjoy the wilderness. One of these days, the wilderness is what you're going to see. A lot of people don't realize this, but when the whole place is hit the way it has been hit, a place is like a wilderness. It's very difficult to understand how this actually works, but these things can become, and all you see destruction left, right, center. Right? Now, so when we take a look at the early testings of the atom bombs, when they first wanted to do all this testing, and there was how many years ago, long before 1945, they were testing this. Those islands that had these things here, till today, the fishing industry is gone. The land cannot be cultivated. It's completely destroyed, wilderness. Unfortunately, that's going to happen. Right? After a while, you turn it into a historical site. After a while, it becomes a place where you can visit, so you can pay homage and remember the dead, and then build bigger ones. The weapons of World War II are so completely obsolete compared to what we have today. Seriously obsolete. The world can destroy itself 10 times over, given the present arsenal. Right? This is the world at large. And what is the greatest need right now? Go. Put in 5% GDP into defense. Go ahead, do it into defense. All the time. Well, we also buy a bit more submarines, buy a few more planes, buy a few more things. What can you do? Kind of thing here. And everybody is waiting for the day that will not come. All the cannon pointing to the sea, and the enemy came by land. And it's just amazing that sometimes you look at it, you don't know whether to laugh or to cry to see how Singapore got captured just like that. Right? And so a small group of soldiers pretended to be a very large army. This is just the vanguard. And they came in and Singapore surrender. Okay, we surrender. Why? That's scary how the world, and you look at all of these things, it's scary how things can turn out to be. But there's only one constant, and that constant is that the word of God will be fulfilled. There is the authority, a divine authority of God, and you cannot violate that. This is what we are seeing. This is what we are going to have, and there is nothing you can do about it. And this is, to me, my special area of comfort. How do I understand all these things here? I want to know the Lord's word better. I want to know. So this is Babylon prophesied, Isaiah 40. This is Babylon coming back again. See, this history tends to repeat itself. The falling of one Babylonian empire, another one will come up. It will follow the ways of the old. And then it will topple. It will follow the ways of the world. And it come back in again and again and again. And it won't change. You look at it. The number of emperors in Rome, you will find them. Every single one of them bad. And it's a really sad reality. Well, what will happen at the end of the day? Nothing. Nothing that they have planned will ever turn out to be good. Nothing. Here is Nero trying to have Rome burned to the ground so that he can build a Neropolis. What happened to him? Well, mentally deranged, firstly. Secondly, he wanted to kill himself, but he had no courage to kill himself. Finally, you know, he asked the soldiers to please kill him. He says, no, but a crowd was coming for him. Finally, one of the older soldiers just gave it to him and killed him. At least he died at the hands of one of his men. Every single emperor has gone that way. No matter how marvelous they have been. There's one famous book written by a man called Marcus Aurelius. Everybody thinks he's a wonderful guy. You should read his life. You have second thoughts whether his thoughts are even worth reading. Completely hopeless in more ways than one. Right? And a lot of these things here, and it's really kind of sad. He married his own sister. What does that read? Seriously. He just kills people as he likes. He takes whatever he wants. And they call him a very pious emperor. If that's piety, I don't know what the meaning of honesty is. Well, those books are read. In fact, in Bible schools in the Philippines, they make it compulsory reading. You know, this is his philosophy. They call him the philosopher of Rome. You got to be kidding. Well, it's a sad reality. Well, this is the world we are living in today. And we are to ask ourselves, how are we living? Right? Suggestion, don't live for the world. Start thinking about God, His Word, and how it will be fulfilled one day. And that one day may be sooner than we realize. And we ask, look at all this madness that is going around, that you ask yourself, Lord, how long? You can pray, Lord, how long? And the answer is, it won't be long. Remember? Right? These were the people who died as martyrs, and they asked the Lord, Lord, how long? And the Lord says, for a while. This is the patience of the saints. We have to wait for a little while before we come to an end. But let's learn how to be faithful, learn how to be prayerful along the way. Okay, well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for wisdom to understand your word. Help us to recognize the terrible things that are going on in the world. The evil, the iniquity, the greed, all the things which we know are mentioned in the scriptures as sinful. And yet these are the very things that are blatantly paraded. And Father, we bring them all before you this morning, asking that your will be done, your word be fulfilled. Continue to teach us how to have patience. Teach us how to be prayerful. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.